Hello, welcome to a new edition of RAE, Radio Difusión Argentina al Exterior in English. This is the international service of the Argentine Radio, transmitting from the city of Buenos Aires via the shortwaves of WRMI, Miami Radio International, and also via internet on RAE.com.ar. This is Fernando Farias speaking, and I'm gonna be bringing you this show in English for today, Thursday, August 7, 2025. On today's show, we'll be talking about a mission by the CONICET, the top scientific entity in the country, which is conducting an exploration under the sea off the coast of Mar del Plata, which is being streamed live, and it's a hit in the country with thousands of views on its YouTube channel, and we'll be talking about that. We'll also be remembering a couple of anniversaries related to sports, because today is the birth anniversary of the late middleweight world champion Carlos Monzón from Argentina, who, according to experts, is underrated. I mean, is not as well known as he should be. He led a quite controversial life off the ring. In fact, he was convicted for murdering his wife. We have a piece on Carlos Monzón to get to discover his life, his sporting accomplishments, and also his violent behavior of the ring as well. We'll also be talking about the first two gold medals that Argentina won in the Olympics in the marathon discipline, which are connected to this date, both gold medals, connected to this date of August the 7th. If you want to get in touch with us, send an email to qslrae@gmail.com or a letter to Maipú Street 555, and then, of course, Buenos Aires, Argentina. Either way, it's okay for sending reception reports if you are a DXer. Let's get started right away with some Argentine music. Let's play some tango by Osvaldo Pugliese. This is a track called El Abrojito.
Pulsante, guiando por todo el mal que me has hecho con el alma grisante, sin fe, sin nido ni amor. No sé por qué te alejaste de mí, si te adoré con creciente fervor. No sé por qué me engañabas así, sin demostrar tu desamor. Con tu querer yo era un hombre feliz, y nunca pensé que tu ardiente pasión era un puñal que me habría de abrir esta herida en mi corazón. Llanto por todo el mal que me has hecho, con el alma agonizante, sin fe, sin nido ni amor.
Today we are diving into something truly extraordinary. Imagine watching the deep ocean floor, nearly 4,000 meters below the surface in real time from your screen. And that is exactly what's happening right now off the coast of Argentina. And the whole country is talking about it. It's part of a groundbreaking expedition led by CONICET, Argentina's top science research body, in collaboration with the Schmidt Ocean Institute. The mission is called Underwater Oasis of Mar del Plata Canyon, and it's exploring one of the least known regions of the Atlantic, a deep sea canyon located about 300 kilometers east of Mar del Plata. They are using a remotely operated vehicle, or ROV, called Subastian, which is streaming live video as it descends all the way to the ocean floor. That's around 3,900 meters deep. And here's the amazing part. Anyone can watch it live on YouTube. The response has been incredible. On some days, up to 50,000 people are watching the live stream at the same time. Social media is full of memes, reactions, even fan accounts for some of the deep sea creatures making an appearance. And the canyon itself, it's not just empty space down there. This area is where two powerful ocean currents, the warm one from Brazil and the cold one from the Malvinas, meet. That creates a unique environment, rich in marine life. Over 30 scientists from Argentina are on board the research vessel. The research vessel is called Falkor. They are collecting samples, taking notes, and guiding viewers through the discoveries. They are identifying fish, collecting DNA from the water, and studying everything from sediment to sponges. All, of course, without disturbing the ecosystem. One researcher described it as doing science in real time with the world watching. It's a rare window into what deep sea exploration looks like, step by step. And the discoveries have been nothing short of stunning. They've already identified more than 25 species of fish. But that's not all. They've spotted translucent squid, glowing starfish, carnivorous sponges, and a crab that's been nicknamed the sweet potato crab by fans online. There's even talk of finding species never seen before. Some scientists say this could be the start of a whole new field of research into the Atlantic deep sea. If you want to see it for yourself, it's all happening live every day until August 10. Just go to the Schmidt Ocean Institute's YouTube channel and you'll find the stream for the experience being broadcast live from the Falkor 2. And the name, obviously, if you're a fan of the never-ending story film or the book, this rings a bell. Falkor and Sebastian, no, both are named after the characters from the famous book and film, The Never-Ending Story. Each dive lasts several hours and scientists provide commentary in both Spanish and English. It's a one-of-a-kind chance to witness the unknown without ever leaving dry land. We often think of space as the final frontier, but for many scientists, the deep sea holds just as many mysteries, and fewer people have seen its floor than have walked on the moon. Thanks to this mission, that's starting to change. So wherever you are in the world, take a few minutes, tune in, and see what's happening below the waves. It's a rare reminder of just how alive, beautiful, and strange our planet really is.
Ernesto tiene 40 años. Trabaja de peón en un negocio de autos. Llevaba camisa oscura y pantalón claro. Salió de noche y no ha regresado. Oh, oh. Y yo no sé ya qué pensar, pues esto antes no me había pasado. No me había pasado. Llevo 3 días buscando a mi hermana. Se llama Altagracia igual que la abuela. Salió del trabajo para la escuela. Llevaba puesto jeans y una camisa blanca. No ha sido el novio. El tipo está en su casa. Oh, oh, no saben de ella en la policía. Y en el hospital. Estudiante de medicina. Se llama Agustín y es un buen muchacho. Es a veces terco cuando opina. Lo han detenido. No sé qué fuerza. Pantalón blanco, camisa rayas. Pasó anteayer. Pasó anteayer. Es un alma de Dios y no se mete con nadie. Se la han llevado de testigo por un asunto que es nada más conmigo. Y yo fui a entregarme hoy por la tarde. Y ahora vi que no saben quién se la llevó del cuartel. escopeta y de revólver. Autos acelerados, frenos gritos, ecos de botas en las calles, toques de puertas, quejas por dioses, platos rotos. Oh, oh, oh. Estaban dando la telenovela, por eso nadie miró pa' afuera.
¡Avestruz!
And that was Fabulous Cadillacs, a band from Argentina with their salsa version of a track written by Panama's Rubén Blades called Desapariciones, Disappearances. We're gonna share now a documentary, a 15-minute documentary from YouTube channel Rhythm Boxing about the life of the late middleweight boxing champion Carlos Monzón from Argentina on the occasion of the 83rd anniversary of his birth in 1942.
37 and still be a force as a fighter.
Look! God, his hands are down. His hands are down.
Carlos Monzón had a cold heart and a hot temper. Born dirt poor in a tiny town in Argentina, Carlos had little in the way of opportunity. He quit school in the third grade, shined shoes to feed himself, soon desperate as he was dangerous, more volatile than a Molotov. He felt little compunction about hurting people. Those who crossed him came to regret it.
Was disciplined in his own way inside the ring. He was not reckless, he was relentless.
Those who loved him did too. The things that made him a monster in his personal life made for an assassin in the ring. Monzón makes his debut in 1963, but he turns up on film for the first time in a title shot, taking on the Italian superstar Nino Benvenuti. It only seemed right with an Italian champion that the road to the middleweight title would go through Rome.
I'm da particolari risposte.
Between the shoulder bumps and hitting on the brake, the endless, countless rabbit punches. The ref was more lenient than the Tower of Pisa. Carlos did his damage, working his way into and out of the clinch. For a man with such long arms, he had an uncanny ability to create just enough space to generate snap in close. Nino fought his heart out for the fans, but Carlos Monzon never had one in the first place. And so he took it. The final shot left the old Caesar bowing to the new one in front of an Italian crowd who were not entertained. Nino regrouped, and the next year got a rematch to win his former title back. Carlos simply out-muscled him.
Arthur McCanny came over here thinking he told that the figures are not too distinguishable upon the American set.
But the thing that truly made Monzon one of the meanest middleweights ever was precision. He had the timing and accuracy of a sniper leading his target. Nino lined up a shot. Carlos saw it coming. A third round was shaping up just like the second. When one of Nino's true friends threw in a towel that saved him a beating, Nino hung up the gloves for good.
This fight has been stopped.
The victories saw Carlos return to Argentina as a hero. The country had been plagued by social and political instability. Bread and games was the closest thing they had to a sense of normalcy. The regime made a hero of Carlos, used his fights as distraction from the hard realities of dictatorship. They also ordered his fights be shown live and free on Argentine TV, which hadn't quite caught up to color yet. He'd soon be joined by Emil Griffith, who flew to Carlos's backyard to remove the former from description as former champion.
Can't do it so far.
Back in black and white, Carlos taught his countrymen how to ruthlessly exploit a reach advantage. It starts with the double jab.
Call each other out. There's two on the schedule 15. That missed that left.
When Griffith starts to move his head or throw a counter, Carlos would drop a right to the body.
At Luna Park in Buenos Aires.
Emil charges, and Carlos glides out of range using his shoulders and distance for defense. Firing back short and accurate, allowing Emil to walk right into them.
Idol yesterday was greeted.
And it wouldn't be a Monzon fight without a thumb in the eye along the way.
Monzon is the one.
took 14 long rounds for the South American psychopath to finally fold the former champ. Within months, he's back in the ring like it never happened. Carlos returned to Europe again. He takes on Jean-Claude Boutier and once again shows the skills of a stalker. Steady as a metronome, Monzon threw his jab, cold and calculating, looking for weakness and waiting on his moment.
Very small, I paced it off, it's only 16 feet.
Until round six, when he finally finds it.
That was a good punch. Monzon's right to the side of Boutier's head, and another right. Monzon.
Carlos shifts from stalker to psycho killer.
Another right by Monzon. That's right.
It was a round he was lucky to survive.
There he went down on that left. With the left leaving itself open to his right.
But it was all downhill from there.
There's Boutier pursuing Monzon. To the French people. He became the middleweight champion.
It got dirty in the 10th.
Monzon is having trouble hitting Boutier cleanly. Boutier did get an 11. Pebble Beach, California, third round, U.S. Open. Monzon trying to work on the belly. 10 seconds left. He was hunched over and fell forward, but not really hurt. There's the right that sent him back. He learned to eat American-style breakfast. Bacon and eggs. Gave up the cafe and croissant. That is it.
Boutier had enough and couldn't come out for the 13th.
Now we're in the 13th round, and the fight has been stopped.
By 1973, his dictatorial reign as middleweight champion had outlasted the president who first congratulated him. He was a national hero with access to the elite of Argentine society. Carlos is showing up in the newspapers with models and actresses. Any woman in a relationship with Carlos starts wearing sunglasses whenever they were in public to cover the bruises. Those brave enough to ask about it were attacked too. Violence was the answer to every problem for Carlos Monzon. Until tired of the abuse and affairs, his wife grabbed a .22 revolver and put two bullets in him. It took 7 hours of surgery, and one of the bullets he carried forever. Carlos would absolutely not learn a lesson from this. By the mid-70s, he'd also run out of worthy middleweights. But a genuine great would take the big step up in weight to take on Carlos with a long-held title. Jose Nápoles, a welterweight sensation.
A reconnaissance opening round. This fellow Monzon has been unbeaten in his last 75 fights.
He was a technical genius. So smooth, they called him Butter. Nicknamed Mantequilla in his native tongue.
They've crowded them in here in a setting that's never been seen before. And he tried that one for size, Monzon, that long right hand, a lazy-looking punch. Has looked very good in the latter part of the fights that I've seen him in there. I like the way Nápoles has moved back in, trying to...
If you ever need to know why boxing has weight classes or consider reach an advantage, this fight is a perfect example.
Teeing Nápoles up for a punch. I said Monzon was a slow starter and I was right.
Carlos was cutting through Mantequilla like a hot knife.
He's hardly missing with a punch. And Nápoles will still be a force as a fighter. Not the
backing up now, which is a bad thing for Nápoles.
He's only got 10 seconds to last this round.
If you want an example of when to end a fight, Angelo Dundee provides a perfect one. A decade earlier, he pushed a blinded Muhammad Ali out of his corner against Sonny Liston. because he knew Ali could win. Against Carlos Monzon, Dundee pulled the plug early because he knew Napoli's could not.
No, he would not come out.
Carlos kept winning. At home and abroad, by 1977, Carlos put together the longest reign in middleweight history. But the tide of time can't be turned back. It was a vicious rematch with Rodrigo Valdez that would convince Carlos the time had come.
See, now the he doesn't do much flashy moves. He does left in round two, and the champion is cut to round three. Now being used by Valdez. You're getting to see it. So are we. The punch went off. Far distance. That's a surprise.
For the first time in forever, Carlos had to get off the floor to win a fight.
A Monzon career for him. A lot of cheering going on. Stick that right hand. First time Monzon went on the road from Argentina. Right now, gotta stay away though until he can get some repair work. Doesn't he, Jerry?
It'll be enough. Look at the courage of Valdez. Oh. Taking shot after shot
at I again. He was in trouble. It was dripping a little bit, but it was pumping last time.
Get another good shot right on him.
The championship fight. The last 2 minutes of Monzon Carrera for him.
It took all night to close the Colombian's eyes. By the time the decision is read, Carlos edges it.
He declares vainqueur, Monzon. The champion is still the champion.
Carlos decided he's pushed his luck far enough. Retires for good after his 100th fight. With a record of 87-3-9, 14 defenses of his middleweight title, and a ridiculous 80-fight unbeaten streak, there could be no questioning his greatness between the ropes. But he was a monster in private. Monzon would eventually remarry a victim by the name of Alicia Muniz. In 1988, after a night of drinking, yet another shouting match broke out in the Monzon home. It was on a second floor balcony where a drunk Carlos Monzon squeezed both his battered hands tight around Alicia's throat until she goes limp. Argentina's champion throws her over the railing. In an effort to make it look like an accident, Carlos then took the plunge himself. But the jury couldn't ignore the injuries to Alicia's throat and reluctantly convicted Carlos of her murder. He was sentenced to 11 years. In 1995, while on a weekend furlough to visit family, Carlos was killed in a car accident. He didn't have pallbearers. The entire country of Argentina crowd served his casket to the wake. Thus ends the violent life of the meanest champion in middleweight history.
That was a piece from Channel Rhythm Boxing on the life of Carlos Monzon that we shared on today's program on the occasion of his birth anniversary in August 7, 1942. Carlos Monzon, one of the most important sports figures in the 20th century in Argentina, was born on a day like this 83 years ago. Let us enjoy now a little bit of music, a little bit of cumbia now with Los Huahuancó in their biggest hit, El Pescador, The Fisherman.
Corriente con chinchorro y atarraya, la canoa de bareque para llegar a la playa. La luna espera sonriente con su mágico esplendor la llegada del valiente del valiente pescador. Habla con la luna, habla con la playa. No tiene fortuna, solo su atalaya. Habla con la luna, habla con la playa. No tiene fortuna, solo su atalaya. Carga pa' vender al puerto de sus amores, donde tienen su querer. Esta cumbia que se llama El Alegre Pescador, la compuse una mañana y una mañana de sol.
El pescador
habla con la luna,
el pescador
habla con la playa.
El pescador
no tiene fortuna, solo su atalaya.
El pescador
habla con la luna,
el pescador
habla con la playa.
El pescador
no tiene fortuna, solo su atalaya.
El pescador
habla con la luna,
el pescador
habla con la playa.
El pescador
no tiene fortuna, solo su atalaya.
El pescador
habla con la luna,
el pescador
habla con la playa.
El pescador
no tiene fortuna, solo su atalaya.
El pescador
habla con la luna,
el pescador
habla con la playa.
El pescador
no tiene fortuna.
That was a classic cumbia track by Los Huanco called El Pescador, The Fisherman. And now we'll have a feature on Rai, also related to Argentine sports people. 16 years apart to the day, two men from Argentina crossed the finish line at the Olympic marathon first. Juan Carlos Zabala in 1932 in LA and Delfo Cabrera in London in 1948. Different races, different eras, but both run for the same flag, Argentina's. And both became national heroes. Let's start with Zabala, born in 1911. Juan Carlos Zabala grew up in an orphanage in Buenos Aires. He didn't have any fancy training, shoes or coaches. He discovered running as a boy, just circling the orphanage yard. And he never really stopped. By age 20, he had qualified for the Argentine Olympic team. No one expected much. But in the blazing Los Angeles heat of August 7, 1932, Zabala ran with fierce determination. He crossed the finish line in 2 hours, 31 minutes, and became Olympic champion. That moment, Argentina's first ever track and field goal, was a turning point. He came home to crowds, headlines, and a place in history. 4 years later, he carried the national flag at the Berlin Olympics, though he was forced to abandon the race just before the finish. But his legacy was sealed, and back in Argentina, one young man watched and took inspiration. Delfo Cabrera. Cabrera was born in 1919 in rural Santa Fe province. The son of Italian immigrants, he worked as a bricklayer and a firefighter. His training grounds were dirt roads and city parks. He ran before work, after work, whenever he could. By 1948, World War II had ended, and the Olympic Games return, this time in London. And on August 7th, the exact same date as Zabala's win 16 years earlier, Delfo Cabrera line up for the marathon wearing Argentina's sky blue and white. The race was long and punishing. At one point, Cabrera collapsed on the road and scraped his head. He got up bleeding, but he kept going. And as they enter Wembley Stadium for the final lap, Cabrera surged ahead. He crossed the line first. Another goal, another miracle, another August 7th. The image of Cabrera holding the Argentine flag, waving it high as he jogged the final meters, became iconic. He wasn't just a runner, he was a symbol of effort, recovery, and national pride in a post-war world. Zabala and Cabrera, two men, two marathons, same nation, same date, 16 years apart. It was as if fate had planned it. Both men continued to inspire long after the final races. Zabala helped develop Argentine athletics, and Cabrera became a quiet mentor for young athletes. Today, their names live on in stadiums, running tracks, and the hearts of runners everywhere. So next time you think of the marathon, of endurance, of struggle, of glory, remember Argentina's golden footsteps, August 7th, twice, 1932 and 1948. One country, one spirit, two unforgettable champions. Juan Carlos Zabala and Delfo Cabrera.
Después de estar contigo, conociendo.
Music you are listening to is a type of danceable up-tempo music from the province of Córdoba called Cuarteto, super popular all over Argentina, but originated in Córdoba, where it's the most popular type of music, I guess. And what you just listened to is one of the most popular artists of the genre ever, Rodrigo. Rodrigo Bueno was his full name, but everybody called him Rodrigo, who died tragically at the peak of his fame when he was 27 in a car crash in the year 2000. What we just listened to is a track called Como Le Digo, How Do I Tell My Wife That I'm In Love With Another Woman. That's basically the name of the idea, the concept behind this track, which is still a massive hit, a huge classic and a staple for DJs in weddings, in parties, still today in Argentina. So let's play another track by Rodrigo that is super popular, and it is about the pride of being from the province of Córdoba. Cordobeses are very, very proud of their culture, of their music, of their accent, which is very distinguishable within Argentina. You spot a Cordobés right away with their accent, and they really like that. They really like being identified just by their accent, by saying two words within Argentina. And obviously they are very proud of their music, Cuarteto, not just the music but the dance. It's got a very particular type of dancing, and most Cordobeses master it. So here is a song by Rodrigo that is about that. Soy Cordobés. I am from the province of Córdoba. That people, regardless of their origin, being from Córdoba or not, sing out loud in parties. Soy Cordobés, even if they are not from Córdoba, because this is such a good and popular song.
Y contar con muchísima emoción donde nació mi canto. Chispa tonada, piano, bajo y acordeón. Así tocaba Leonor, ritmo de cuartetazo. El pibe Berna, Carlos Pueblo, Roland y el cuarteto de oro. Le dieron música, alegría a mi ciudad. Soy de la universidad de la alegría y el cantón. Le dieron música, alegría a mi ciudad. Soy de la universidad. Córdoba, te quiero tanto. Soy cordobés, me gusta el vino y la joda, y lo tomo sin soda, porque así pega más, pega más, pega más. Soy cordobés y me gustan los bailes, me siento en el aire si tengo que cantar. De la ciudad, de las mujeres más lindas, del Ferné de la Birra, madrugada sin par. Soy cordobés y ando sin documento, porque llevo el acento de Córdoba capital. Si pega más, pega más, pega más. Soy cordobés y me gustan los bailes. Me siento en el aire si tengo que cantar. Soy de la ciudad, de las mujeres más lindas, del Ferné de la Birra, madrugada sin par. Soy cordobés y ando sin documento, porque llevo el acento de Córdoba capital. Creyente, yo le doy gracias a Dios por esta bendición que en la sangre llevamos. Es todo el año tunga, tunga del mejor, es nuestro rock and roll, y a la moneda idolatramos. Se para el lunes porque hay que descansar de todo lo que bailamos. Y el martes en caravana dos otra vez, hay que lustrar los pepes porque a algún lado nos vamos. Y el martes en caravana dos otra vez, hay que lustrar los pepes porque a algún lado nos vamos. Soy cordobés, me gusta el vino y la joda, y lo tomo sin soda, porque así pega más, pega más, pega más. Soy cordobés y me gustan los bailes, me siento en el aire si tengo que cantar. Soy Canta Córdoba, ¿dónde está la gloria? Buen Jardín Espinosa, Talleres, tú lo ves. Y si quieres yo te llevo para el Verdi, ¿dónde están los celestes? Mi pirata cordobés. De la ciudad, de las mujeres más lindas, del Ferné de la Birra, madrugada sin par. Soy cordobés y no me importa si es gorda, como el arco de Córdoba la quiero para bailar. Me gusta el vino y la joda, y lo tomo sin soda, porque así pega más, pega más, pega más. Soy cordobés y me gustan los bailes, me siento en el aire si tengo que cantar. De la ciudad, de las mujeres más lindas, del Ferné de la Birra, madrugada sin par. Soy cordobés y ando sin documento, porque llevo el acento. El acento lo llevo como una marca registrada de Córdoba capital. El orgullo de ser cordobés y cuartetero. Hasta los huevos.
Soy Cordobés by Rodrigo. That marks the end of our show today on RAE in English. This is the International Service of the Argentine Radio. My name is Fernando Farias, and this show airs via the shortwaves of WRMI, Miami Radio International, on the frequency 5850 kHz. And we are also streaming live via our webpage, rae.com.ar. You can also find our content at uploaded as a podcast on that website too. Thank you for listening. Hasta mañana.